Hey, it's me again. Today we're going to speak on a different subject from last week. And we're going to speak from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 19. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 19. And today I'll have my sister Ruth rather to help me out. I'll call you. I know you are keen. Just sit down for now. See, sorry, the lectern broke, so, the remnant is there. Otherwise, I would have put it here so that we can have two. And when we fix it, I hope the clan will sort it out for us. And when it fixed, then we could use it as well. The theme is, I will build my church. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'll build my church is enough, if you pick it that way. I will start by saying that the church belongs to God. And he has an interest to see the church built. God wants his church built so that he would dwell among his people and be closer to them. So they will experience his awesome presence and approach him with boldness concerning the things that matters to them. God wants you to be close to him. He wants to be close to you too. Because when God said, when in Christmas we said, and the Lord is with us, and what we say that Emmanuel, God with us, God wants to dwell with you. The church means the tabernacle of God, a dwelling place of God. And if God dwelt, D-W-E-L-T, that means God is closer to you. Do you understand that? If God dwelt, then God is closer to you. But God will dwell in the tent. That means God will dwell in his church, and his church is you and me, and his church is every individual that sat here who has accepted Jesus Christ as his or her forgiver and her leader and renounced the works of the evil one and said, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. The church is you. An individual is not a church, but when we come together, we become a community of God's people, and that is the church, and also God dwelt with us. We are tabernacles, as it were, because God dwells in us as a tent. The Bible said, do not you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your forgiver and your leader, he allows his Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you. So you are part of the stone that builds the church of God. Hallelujah. So you are stones, and if you are not here on a Sunday, the church building is missing something. And God said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants his people to look to him and approach him for solutions, especially when things look impossible by man, for with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. See, when things are impossible by man, with God, all things are possible. Sometimes we figure all things with our brain, with our five senses. Oh, I can't see it. I haven't done an experiment. I can't prove it. Oh, no, it's not logical. I can't feel it. I can't hear it. I can't see it. I can't touch it. So it doesn't make sense to us. Because it's impossible for you. You've exhausted all your avenues of knowing and understanding. But there's more to it than that. And what it is to it is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, I'm not trying to be spiritual. What I'm trying to tell you is that our God is great. And impossible things is possible with him. So if we want God to dwell with us, then he will make impossible things possible with us. The church is a powerful force when it comes together in unity and a corporate anointing. And one of the things that I was praying for on Friday is that God give us a corporate anointing. That means God anoint you for service. God anoint you for you to do what God does. Hallelujah. And God, remember, the Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 1 that God sent the Holy Spirit. He anointed Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, with a very powerful force, rose Jesus Christ from the dead. If you read from verse 17, it will tell you that, look, now I want you to know that the eyes of your understanding will be open so that you can comprehend. That means you can understand in totality how awesome, how powerful, how expanse the power and authority which God has given to you. And that authority, the same authority that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. It needs a greater power to raise the dead. It needs a greater power for Jesus Christ to be said, I'm the resurrection and the dead. Because from there on, death will have no power over him no more. So, I want to encourage you, church, on Friday, you showed greater power. Don't be the same again. Now, if you say, I walk in power, like I was preaching, then you know what it takes to walk in power. Don't let nobody die in your home without you praying for that person. Don't let nobody be sick in your home without you praying. Don't let anything go on that you don't like prevail without you doing something about it. The power is in your mouth. Well, I said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Are you going to pray for life in your home? The church is a powerful force when it comes together in unity under a corporate anointing. That is a supernatural authority to demonstrate God's power to release life and do good. I'll call in a few minutes, about 5 minutes. The enemy does not like this. So Satan would rather have you see church as a social gathering place for religion, where nothing supernatural happens. Satan wants nothing is happening churches all around us. Are you listening? Satan wants nothing is happening churches all around us. And we are not going to allow our church to become a nothing is happening church. You understand that? And if you are being obedient and actually reading the book of Acts, we are in chapter 15, you will understand that the church of God is something is happening always church. You understand that? It's a church which something is happening church in that community. Wherever the church was, it is a something is happening church. But then Satan is happy for us to reduce ourselves to nothing is happening. We come and say, praise God, with no power in it. We come and say, oh yeah, we read some preaching. And if the preacher's animated one day, oh gosh, anointing came. And then you went home, before you get out of the door, tea and coffee has taken all the anointing away. Sorry, I'm not saying tea or coffee is bad. It's good refreshment for us. And we thank you because there's a whole ministry in the Bible. We say hospitality. And without that, a church is not complete. You understand that? Some people are so spiritual, they don't want hospitality in their church. That is fine. We want hospitality. Sometimes you need it. If Satan can get us to be nothing is happening in church, in that way one can be attracted or distracted by anything, and that becomes a priority for you instead of being in the house of God. You see, if there's nothing happening in your church, there's no motivation for you to come to church, isn't it? You see, because when you come, same. We don't want same church here. Hallelujah. Amen. From now on, there's not going to be same churches here. Amen. Once upon a time, you can travel for 5 years, and when you come, same songs, same people. Well, we thank God that there are same people here. But we want more to be added to the church, because when you read the book of Acts, when God does supernatural things, there are more people added to it. New faces, new people, new energy, new perspective. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We will not settle for nothing is happening in church, but we'll settle for something is happening in church. That is the church in the book of Acts. And I pray that please pick up your daily devotions. If you don't have your email address, give it to us. And you have it, your inbox, every morning by 1 a.m. or by 12 a.m. thereabout. And then you can read it whatever time you wake up. God's church. Oh, sorry, I'm just jumping. So, anything at all can be a priority for you. Anything distract you and you go. Winter Olympics, and you stay and you watch. Anything comes. Oh, I've got a little headache. Oh, yeah, let me stay. Headache never kills nobody, except it's a serious migraine. Yes? We have doctors, and I love that. They prescribe things for us. Take some of it and pray over it, and you'll be fine. If you really want to worship God, you'll be fine. I'm not saying be careless. You got to, because some people are thinking, oh, yeah, he should go and see a doctor. Of course I'll go and see a doctor. You think I'm that stupid? I'll book to go and see a doctor, also for a doctor to verify that it is well with my soul. Amen. You understand that? So if you are anxious about that, that's what I will do. Because when God heals you, it is good to get those people who use their brain and those kind of instrument, they use their senses, right? Let them also come and say, we agree with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, am I teaching you right now? Yes. Good. I will build my church. Rose, be on the standby. God will build his church not for his sake, but for the sake of his people. So they will glorify and give praises to his name. It glorifies God to see his church prosper. For that reason, the gates of hell or Hades, grave or death shall not be against it. That is, all the powers of hell will not conquer the church. Hallelujah. God's church must be built, and to be built here in SSBC Greenwich. Hallelujah. God never built his church in spite of us, but with us. Hallelujah. He built his church with the hands and resources of his people. Are you hearing this? He built a church with the hands and resources of his people. And at this moment, I want to pause and I'll ask my co-preacher, Rose, to come and take it from here, and I will come back to finish it off.
I don't know how I can follow that. Okay. Are we all sitting comfortably? Yes. Then I will begin. Quite a while ago, about 8 years ago, I had an annoying dream. It was a very annoying dream. It went on for days. And the dream was that this big black and red coat, and it had a red tick up the side, and it was big, pulled up outside church. Loads of people got off, filled the balcony, and that was it. And this dream went on and on and on, to the point that I got Pastor Gideon to the side and went, oh, come here a minute. I keep having this dream about the church and it won't go away. So I told him, and the dream went away. I thought, yeah, okay. And then we got to, a couple of weeks ago, at Vision and Culture Night. And those of you that were here, I shared this. I felt quite emotional, actually. But while I'm sat in Vision and Culture Night, and we're talking about the building works for disabled access, for non-mobile people to come in, for disabled people to come in, it came back to me. The big red coach with the big red tick up the side pulled up outside the church. I hadn't thought of that for about 8 years. So I shared it, because it was about us building the church, making it bigger, making it better, making it more accessible, bringing it into the community and other communities, because we're not just Greenwich. Some of us are from Lewisham. Some of us are from Woolwich. Some of us come through the Blackwall Tunnel to get here. We come from all different communities, but this church, I believe, is going to come in when the building works are done, when there is accessibility, when word gets out that we are going to get people in here. We're going to get people, non-Christians. I don't particularly want Christians to come to this church. I want non-Christians to come to this church. So, you know, that is our job. Okay? So, vision and culture ended. And myself, I was driving. Monica and Jenny got in the car. And we decided to drive home. So we got to Woolwich. And there's this black, I think it was a Land Rover, a Range Rover in front of us. And it had a bumper sticker on it. And it said, divine enlargement. So I said to Monica, divine enlargement. I've never heard the word enlargement in the Bible before. I've heard the word divine, but not enlargement. So we struggled to see what the verse was until I decided to pull the car forward. And as Monica was sitting in the front, she got the verse up. And the verse said, it's from Isaiah 54, verse 2 to 3. And it says, and this is the New King's Version, it says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations, spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. And that is straight after we've talked about building and making the church bigger and better. So if that wasn't a sign, so now my annoying dream has turned into a vision. And we've had a sign, and Monica and Jenny was there. So I know I wasn't dreaming and making things up. All right, they were witnesses. This church is going, it's not maybe, is going to get bigger. It is going to have everybody, the old, the young, the disabled, the able-bodied, the non-able-bodied, in this church. And we are going to be a bigger part of the community. Yeah, at the moment we do things for the community. But we're going to be a name that people will in trouble will come and say, you go to South Street Baptist Church and you will get help. You will be saved and you will be loved. Hallelujah. As for one person who doesn't evangelize, this is not me talking. This is a week's worth of God bugging me in between patients. Okay? So this is what is going to happen. We are going to raise the money. We are going to contribute to the church. When the building work starts, people will see what's happening. We need to draw them in so we can raise more money to get the works done on the church. And that is all I have to say. And I do have to go. Okay, bye.
Hallelujah. Amen. I told you, this is something is happening, church. We're no more going to be nothing is happening, church. I've never heard that woman preach like this before. Is that true, yes or no?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, if I told you that please come and preach, you would have run all the way to Manchester, where she comes from. And now she's stood here and preached. She's running out because she had an appointment, and I've kept her a little bit. Hey, we thank God for the life of Rose. And, I mean, one day you just speak to her where she's come from. When she first came to this church, she wouldn't even talk to me for 6 months. And God has turned her life around for her to stand here today to speak to you. You have to give God the glory.
Amen.
Hey, this is something that's happening, church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. So, imagine the church that has been described to you in that vision that Rose gave, that the bus, red large bus, came with a tick on it, probably like a Nike tick or whatever it was. And people just coming up and rushing to this church from all corners, all races, all cultures. It's an incredible phenomenon. And he's not the first person who has had such a vision. Many people have had such a vision. But the vision is for an appointed time, and the time is now. Say amen to this.
Amen.
And the time is now. It is for the sake of God's people that this revelation has been given to us. So you'll be wondering, when do we get into our preach? Yes, I'll try and bottle it up in about 20 minutes. So look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 15. And I'll read for you quickly. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But Jesus said, "But what about you?" He asked them, "Who do you say I am?" And I'll read verse 16 since it's there. And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. "But who do you say I am?" Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are one of the prophets. Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Jeremiah. "But who do you say I am?" It is not good enough to be wishy-washy about one's faith or an encounter with Jesus Christ. We need a personal revelation and conviction of who Jesus is to see the kingdom of God come in our church and in our lives. You understand that? You can't be wishy-washy with your faith. You can't pray today and tomorrow when you remember. You never remember, you forget to eat, do you? You never remember to forget to go to church, do you? You never remember to have a shower, hopefully, or a bath. But then you only remember when you decide you want to. That is being a wishy-washy Christian. We don't want to be wishy-washy with our faith. We don't want to be wishy-washy with an encounter with Jesus. We have to encounter Jesus powerfully. We need that personal revelation. Remember what Rose was saying? He said, "And God revealed it to me." God was nagging her. And as he said, "I am not the one," in her words to me, he said, "I'm not the one who will sit down looking for revelation because I don't even understand that." And God kept nagging her until she's had a personal conviction of what God wanted to do and to see the kingdom of God come. And if you remember that the people that she saw came in, they came in for a purpose, didn't they? Not just to join us to have fun, but for us to minister to them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When one is wishy-washy about Christ, we don't serve him heart and soul. Thus, we do not see the need to build his church. How can you build God's church when you know you are the cornerstone and you are not here? How do you expect that church to go up? How do you build God's church when you know that there's other things to do and you're not around? How do you walk under the corporate anointing when you are separated from the community of God? We want to press on to read verse 15 through to 17, if you got it. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father who is in heaven." Hallelujah. Amen. This was not revealed to you by man. The revelation of Jesus opens our eyes to the purpose for which he has called us, to build his church so that who'll be a blessing to us. Listen to what he said. "Blessed are you, Simon Peter." When he had a revelation about the church of God, that the church of God needs to be built, God said, "You are blessed indeed." Hallelujah. When we get this blessing, The revelation of Jesus opens our eyes to the purpose for which he has called us, to build his church so that he'll be a blessing to us and to draw many who will call upon his name to be their forgiver and leader. Yes, to call many unto salvation. So the vast loads of people that were come, they came because they want God to save their lives. They want God to get them out of trouble. And that time will come, and the time is now, that we'll be ministering to people to get out of trouble. People who are emotionally disturbed, we're going to pray for them. Mentally disturbed, we're going to pray for them. Physically ill, we're going to pray for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remind me of the person that I pray for that received physical healing on the skin so that they will come to church, because I haven't seen that person in church for 2 weeks. They need to testify to God. Otherwise, you become like the leper that was healed, and afterwards, 9 of them decided, hallelujah, they went. But only one came to give thanks to God. As part of our pastoral care, to check on people that they're okay. So what we are saying is that the vast loads of people that will come are coming so that we will minister to them. I cannot do that alone. I need you to be doing that. You ought to be doing that. And God has demonstrated to you that He's going to give you the power. And He has already done that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He's the resurrection and the life. And you yourself have been witnesses to His resurrection and His life in this church. Because sometimes when Paul said, look, I saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Honestly, when Jesus Christ was being crucified, Paul was not there. He wasn't even a believer then. It was many years after. But he said, my eyes have seen the resurrection. I'm crucified with Christ. I live not by the life that I live by faith, by the Son of Man who loved me and died and gave His life for me. How was he crucified with Christ? Yet he lives. He has come to experience that in his own life and his own ministry. And he has come to that revelation that God has anointed him to preach good news to the poor. Good news to the vast loads of people. Good news to the disabled. Good news to those people who are mothers and who needed, someone to help them with their trolleys. That this time they will have to troll themselves in instead of somebody breaking their backs to lift them in. Are you with me? And that vision is not Pastor Ben Davis' vision. It's the vision of that God gave to the leadership of this church to actually build these ramps. Are you with me? There are a few big things that has happened in this church. First, in this 145 years ago, our fathers put up this building. In today's money, about $3.5 million. They contributed that freely from their pocket. They did not take loan or take government money or social money. They just bred it from their pocket. 145 years. There have been a little bit of tinkering where we've repaired a roof and the tinkering here and there. When there was a fire in the upper room, we got money from the insurers to do it. But then the other big money that we had to use was £55,000 to do the lower hall and build toilets over there. And that was built in our generation. That was the next big thing that we did. Never mind the £10,000 for the curtains, the fireproof curtains, and also £10,000 for the doors. That was also done in our generation. Now the next big thing is literally, according to the figures from the vendor, £420,000. For which, thank God, we have £100,000. So we need £320,000. I'm not asking you to bring it right now, so that you get scared. So you can see that for 145 years, nothing major in terms of physical construction has taken place. And two of those projects is going to be done by our generation. You understand that? And that is incredible, isn't it? And our eyes must see His glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us there is another reason why we need to know Jesus up close and personal. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, I'll read it from New Living Translation. So that I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. In case you are not familiar with that translation, let me go to New King James Version. It said that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know God up close and personal so that I'll be part of his instrument in his hand to build his church. And today God has given you a lease of life so that you'll be part of building his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we go on in Peter's confession. When we understand who Jesus is, our own identity and the power of his resurrection and authority given to us will be revealed. So let's read verse 18 as it's been projected for us, beautifully. It says this, and I tell you, that Jesus speaking, that you are Peter, meaning the rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not overcome it. Hallelujah. Upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. When Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, Son of the living God, Jesus also confessed Peter as the rock. He said, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, now you are Peter. You're the rock. So when you confess Jesus Christ, as you know who he is and have a revelation of him and the purpose for which he's called you, then he also confess you and tell you who you are and help you to identify who you are. Now you are not a nobody no more. You're not a rejected person anymore. You're not a discriminated person no more. You're not the one who people say that you are a loser no more, but you are a victor in the name of Jesus Christ. You come to that point and knowing that Jesus said, you are blessed, Peter. You are blessed. You are now a rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. So today, look at yourself and tell somebody that you are a rock. Tell somebody. Some of you are afraid. You can't even tell nobody. You are a rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of death will not conquer it. Hades is hell, right? That means the grave. Will not conquer it. Nothing will kill it. You are a rock. My brothers and sisters, let's come to the point of knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection so that he will confess us time and time again and tell us who we are. Because when God revealed to you who you are, it's an incredible thing. You are anointed for a purpose. You are anointed for a purpose. When we catch a deep revelation about Jesus, he in turn gives us a revelation of who we are and the authority he has given to all believers in his name. The faith and courage of Peter had to confess who Jesus is was seen as a rock. Peter walked close enough with Christ for God to speak to him. He walked close enough with Jesus Christ for God to speak to him. And verse 19 continues, if you project for me. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be losing in heaven. It is easy for us to go for I bind and I lose. I bind and I lose. But there is a process, my brothers and sisters. Have you noticed that? You have to know Jesus. You have to get close to him. You have to allow him to get close to you. And you have to allow him to anoint you. You have to allow him to open your eyes to see the authority that you have so that you'll be a nothing is happening person or nothing is happening church. You've got to be a something is happening person and something is happening church. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I'm a something is happening person in Jesus' name. And you are. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You see, God wants to give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That is a big task. It's as if somebody handed the keys to Buckingham Palace and said, you take over it. And you watch over it. That is serious. There's ISIS around, I know. There's Republicans around, I know. I know some people don't like me, I know. But you hold the keys. And instead, there are some people who are coming to get you, but still hold the keys. It's a place of responsibility. It's a place that God is saying, I'm going to open my kingdom to you. I'm going to open the heavenly stuff to you. I'm going to open the supernatural to you. And whatever you declare bound, or whatever you declare forbidden, it will be forbidden. And whatever you declare allowed, that means losing, it will be losing. You understand that? So the authority that God has given you is for you to open the kingdom of heaven and to snatch out of it that authority and use it and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bound it. So somehow when I was lying there dying, somebody said, and I bind the spirit of death in Jesus' name. That is authority in the name of Jesus. We are not playing here no more. And I'm looking at you. We are not playing no more. And don't play around no more. And I'm not going to sit down and allow anybody to mess about with me no more. You understand that? You see, I've been praying today. I said, God, you know what? Let me forgive all those people who've hurt me so deeply in this church in particular. And all those people who've disrespected me in this church. Let me forgive them. And I prayed seriously in this week of prayer and fasting. And for that reason, I'm able to stand and say, God, you know what? I'm forgiving. Because you've forgiven me a lot. I forgive everybody. And for that reason, I can take the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever I declare loose on earth, it will be losing in heaven. So that means, as it is in heaven, so shall it be here. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are given the keys to the kingdom, the government of heaven. That is, what heaven wants done here on earth, you have been given the keys to govern it. The rulership has been handed to you. You now have the authority and power to rule on earth as it is in heaven. You have the power and authority to declare things forbidden. Just repeating that. You have the power to declare things allowed, and it will come into being. And it shall be done in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm coming to the end of my preach. To build a church requires the power of God, human resources, and money. Say amen to that. Amen. You see, and I want you to turn your Bible to Zechariah chapter 4, 4 to 10. Zechariah. See, when the people of Israel returned from Persia. When they returned from Persia, the first group of people were led by a guy called Zerubbabel. He was a governor, Zerubbabel, a mouthful of that. Next Saturday, I'll be speaking at the church, St. John's at Deptford. I'm going to do walk through the Bible. You see, during his time, there were three prophets. That's coming to the end of the New Testament. That was one being Haggai, one being Zechariah, and one being Malachi. But this one is Zechariah who is speaking. And Zerubbabel was very frustrated that after returning with the exiles from Persia, 16 years had passed, and the temple of God had not been rebuilt. But God gave him a vision of lampstands and olive trees. Because God said to Zerubbabel, take my people back to Jerusalem and go and build my church. And he went, the people were zealous, and they contributed, and then after that, I'm thinking, we've done our best. It's not happening, so we've taken it. Even somebody has even wrote to me that I'm leaving this church because you are asking people for money for a building work, which is not going to happen. I said, that's your opinion. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, we are going to build this ramp. Building work will start this July. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, these people believe it. These people believe it. I don't know. Will you believe that? Amen. It's going to happen this July. Ask me if I have £350,000 in the kitty. We don't, but we're going to do it. Amen. Amen. For 16 years, Zerubbabel was so frustrated it's not happening. He was hearing stories like that. And this person who wrote to me, I said, you know what? That's your opinion. God bless you. I'm moving on. That's all what I said. I could have been angry and said all sorts of things. There's no point. Let God lead you. Are you with me? This is something that's happening in church. And like Rose was saying, we are going to rebuild that. So Zerubbabel, what was he saying? He was frustrated. He was cajoling the people and nobody's bothering about it. And he was asking God, God, please help me out. What do I do? And God gave him a vision of a lampstand and olive trees. What does it mean? But I'll take it from verse 4, but read the whole of chapter 4, Zechariah, and you understand that because it gives the meaning and everything. So I answered and spoke to him. So God asked him, do you understand what I'm saying, what I'm showing you, this lampstand and olive trees? Do you understand that, Zerubbabel? So Zerubbabel said, I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is what the Lord is saying to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Hallelujah. So you see, people sometimes we quote out of context, but I'm bringing you into it. It says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountains? By Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Before Zerubbabel, you shall, O Mount Saul. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace or blessing upon it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the days of small beginnings and small things. For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. What does it mean? So this vision is saying that now you know something. If you don't understand this vision, this is what I am saying, that I, the Lord, will build this temple. I, the Lord, will build this temple. And you, Zerubbabel, you, the governor, you have led the people this far. You've been frustrated this far. You've been despised this far. People are saying your church is small, your people are small, and everything. And sometimes people just want to say, we are going and we take our money. Take your money. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All this while, we've never gone begging. And we'll never go begging. Bible said, I've been young and I've now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. So this church will not go begging. For who has despised the days of small things? God put it there for Zerubbabel to remember the days that things were small and he didn't understand. But the days are coming so big that he may even forget those days that were small. And only a few people come gather here and pray and the devil attack and God help him uses you to raise the dead. Hallelujah. From then on, the prophet Haggai also step in to prophesy what the Lord says to his people, and the people's hearts moved them, and they obeyed. Hear what he says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 onwards. I'll just read that to you, and I'll definitely finish. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your panel houses and still the temple to be left lying in ruins? Now, therefore, thus say the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Know the word, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Sounds like your wage that you can't see it. And that says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Verse 9. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought in home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins and lie fallow unbuilt, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withhold its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land, and the mountains on the grain, and the new wine and the oil on whatever the ground brings forth, and on men and livestock and all the labor of your hands. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehoiada, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the word of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord, their God, had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Zerubbabel was struggling, but God gave him an assurance, not by power, but by my spirit. Then Haggai came and said, you know what? You guys are doing so well in your jobs. Aaron, give me that bucket, please. You are doing so well in your jobs. There's a bucket under the table. You are doing so well in your jobs. Everything is going well with you. And sometimes you are earning wages and you are struggling. Good money, and it's not going around. The Lord said, I'm blowing it away. Sometimes your vehicles and your machines and other things are not working the way they're supposed to. The Lord said, I'm blowing them away because my house lies in the fallow. You are living in your panel houses, your lovely homes, your flats, your detached homes, semi-detached terrace, whatever it is. But in my house lies fallow. He said that you do everything, when you go to chapter 3, he said you do everything and you will give me the rotten fruit as an offering. Bring me an offering that is worth its name. And I have this envelope, and if you put the camera on it, I would like you to see it. Right? Wake up, you guys. If you put the camera on it, I'd like you to see it. You can zoom it in, probably. Check if you can see a name on it. Can you see a name on it? No? Okay. Never mind. I'll read it for you. This is charity gift aid declaration. I want to gift aid my donation of £1.50 as a donation to the church. And I read, this is my tooth fairy money. I want to give it all to my church, because they need a lot of money for the burden fund. Miss Zuri Kasuja. And Zuri gave us £1.50. Her fairy tooth or tooth fairy money, gave it to the church. Said, I want to give all to the church. And there was something else that Zuri said. Apparently, she wanted to bring all her savings to Pastor Gideon to help the church, because he's always asking for money for the building works. God bless her. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Zuri is what, 4 years old? A 4-year-old girl gave her fairy tooth money, and that day, there and then, that was when Pastor Ben preached here, she received £10 back as a gift. And last week she came to show me her £10. So that is Zuri's money to build the church. Some of us say a tithe is too much for God, but we will give you what we want and think you deserve. That will build your house. and bless the community, I think. You see, when you do that, it's like having a packet of crisps. Having eaten it, you say, God, you know what? This is all that you deserve. A packet of crisps, my leftovers. Yes, can you see? I'm trying to bring it out. And sometimes we feel our pocket and see if it is a copper or a silver before we bring it out. If you give me a packet of crisps like this, even I will not eat it. Especially when I know that you've opened it and eaten it, and that's all that is left. I will not eat it. Sometimes we stand. We say, God, a tithe is too much for you. But a few loose coins will help you. That will build your church. So we'll give that to you. But it's the same God who has given you a job and he has promoted you and you're earning so much. It's the same God who has helped you and protected you from all trouble and from all danger. It's the same God that you pray to. He's given you a husband, he's given you a wife. The same God that has given you a flat, he's given you a job. It's the same God who's given you children. He's the same God who has given you health. He's the same God who has been there for you. Yet, when it comes to his building of his church, a few loose coins and leftover of your crisps. Is that what God deserves? That's what you say, God, that is what you deserve. But then when it starts going wrong, say, God, please help me. Next time I'll bring you my leftovers again when I get a job. And I want to challenge you today. If you want to build God's church, tithe your income. Means 10%. And trust God. If he will not open the windows of heaven and do that. Tithe was not invented by Malachi. That was the end of the Old Testament. Way back in Genesis 14. The time of Abraham, God tithed it. And way back in Genesis chapter 1, God gave us Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins. I'm sorry I've exceeded my time. I really apologize, but I just want you to understand what I'm trying to say. That I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. God will do it. But will you tithe your income? And if you never tithe in this church, try it for the first time and believe God. If you're giving regularly to God, God bless you. But why don't you tithe your income? I think, oh no, God, I want to live in my panel house, but you only deserve the call. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're here and you give every Sunday into the bucket, we thank God. But why don't you? You're on the internet. Give by regular giving. Because you are saying that, God, you know what? It takes £600 every month to heat this place. It takes £300 every month to light up this place. It takes £270 every month to insure this place. And many, many, many more. Every month, at least £7,000 of your money just go to manage this place. Wages and salaries, not part of it. And your loose coins, say, God, that is enough to pay for it. We'll build your house with that. I'm not resenting your loose coin. That is why I appreciate this £1.50 so much. It came from her heart. And that was all that this young lady has. And I'm saying she should be blessed. And I thank God that you'll be blessed. Now, I don't know what to say. We said we'll have communion today. Communion is a time for us to really say we are together. And as we're going to have communion, I want you also to prepare your offering. I've never done this before, but I want the offering bucket to be put right here. So you come and put your offering in. And then you break bread with us and tell us that we are a church. We'll build God's house together. Are you with me? I'm challenging you because everything that I've told you today is something that I do myself. And I live in miracles. That for all that God was giving me, good money, And for all that I'm getting here, I praise God for that. That I was able to step down massively. And said, I'm not broke and I'm still tied in my income and more. And God is able to do that. Tell me, if you have some of the gift forms, anyone who wants one, please, lift up your hand and to be given to you. Today I'm challenging you, but I'm also encouraging you that you are Peter. Peter, you are a blessing. And upon this name, rock, I'm going to build my church. Maybe you've never done this before. And say, you know what, for the first time I want to tithe my income. For the first time I want to give regular to the church. Anyone will take that. It's not a precondition to come for communion. Anyone here? Hey guys, time, you know what they said? The people obeyed. You see, God knows those who cannot trust him enough with their income. It can be a scary thing, but God is able to. Our young people are here. Who will take that form and complete it? Yes, there's someone there. Who will take that form? God bless you, madam. That's an awesome step that you are taking. God is going to increase your income and send you money in unexpected ways. Who is? God knows all those who give him the leftovers in this church. Are you one of them? Or are you going to trust him? Come on, our young ones want to. Do you want to trust him? We'll build our church. You know what? Come and let's prepare the communion. We'll have it. And the offering buckets are here. I know if you have a loose coin, you don't want me to see, so I'll get down so that I don't see what you put in there. Of all the money God gives you, all that he can give him is your leftovers. Think about it. I'm leaving grains of sand on your brains. Father God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat, all of you. And as long as you eat it, you remember me." And after that, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "This is the blood of a new covenant that I give to you. Drink, all of you. For I will never drink of this again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." I pray that God's blessing will be upon you today. That will be a united church and will be one people and will not be disobedient, but will do as God said, by the voice of Peter, by the voice of Zerubbabel. So,